Now, my next guest is currently taking on the challenge of running 100 kilometres during the month of June. It's all to raise awareness around consent and funds for, which is different, consent, and funds for the Wicklow Rape Crisis Centre. And it is, we're going to talk to a woman who was raped at the age of 16 and attended the services of the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre. When she moved back to Arklow, there were no services here in the county, and she went to the Wexford Rape Crisis Centre and used their services. Now they need a new building, and our guest wants to help. It's Sinead. She's been blogging about her experience in Off My Dotty Rocker, where she looks at issues around women's rights, consent, and mental health. Sinead Tullis, good morning to you. Good morning, Sinead.
Hi, Declan. How are you? Good morning from a very sunny Arklow.
Yeah, it's gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous out there. Listen, we spoke before, didn't we? We spoke about the drift art, I think it was.
That's right, Declan. It was before Christmas sometime, and Claire invited me on to talk about my mum's craft business, which is called Drift Art. So we did meet before, and of course then we weren't, we were actually allowed into the studio and weren't working from home, so I got to see you in person, which was very nice.
16, when this dreadful thing happened to you, how much do you want to tell us about it, or would you share it with us?
Absolutely. At this stage, I suppose the important thing to me is to break down any taboo. For a long time, it happened when I was 16. I knew the person involved. It was the typical sort of night out, and too much maybe alcohol pops at the time had been taken. And he just didn't take no for an answer. I mean, I suppose that in many ways, for a long time, we didn't really speak about it in the family. Nobody really talked about issues like this that were happening. So really, until I was 34, it was all still quite hidden and secretive, something that was just swept under the carpet, which was typical, really, of Ireland at the time. It happened in 1997. And really, I suppose it's only in the last, I feel, maybe 6 to 8 years that things have become a little bit more open. The conversation around it has changed. So I'm quite open about what happened, not who was involved, because unfortunately there is still, I do feel that if I didn't name the person, there is still a high chance of probability that I wouldn't be believed.
That's what I was going to ask you, actually. Were you believed at the time?
Yes. Luckily, I had my very dear best friend, who is still my best friend, and she sort of dealt with the immediate aftermath. But she would have really been the only person who knew about it. I told my parents 6 months later. And I suppose I'm an only child. My mother was extremely supportive. I don't feel I got a huge amount of support from my dad. Maybe there was a certain amount of blame involved there, which I think was the standard response at the time. I'm just thinking about Louise O'Neill's book, Asking For It. Unfortunately, there is still that stigma around it. What was the girl wearing? Did she sort of lead the guy on in any circumstances? And of course, this can happen to a boy or a man as well. I suppose I'm just speaking from the experience of being a young girl when this happened. So I didn't tell my parents for 6 months. And then my mother contacted at the time the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre. Things were very different then, I think, especially because we were more regional and I wasn't Dublin-based. I don't think that at the time there was a huge amount that sort of could be done. And unfortunately then, because of that, failing to deal with it at the time, it led to huge, impactful, long-term consequences. I, throughout all of my 20s, really, and my early 30s, things were very difficult. And it really is only since I was sort of 34 that I've actually dealt with it properly. So I suppose one of the things that I really want to highlight is the long-lasting effect of rape, sexual trauma, gender-based violence, that it's not just the immediate, the physical the immediate PTSD, but that these consequences just, they live with you. You're never going to be completely free of them. You can learn how to cope with the effects and the PTSD symptoms, but it's never going to go away completely. And that's why I think it's so essential that, especially outside of Dublin, that we have regional centres who are well supported to deal with, to sort of rehabilitate in some way the victims, or I prefer to describe myself as a survivor. I don't see myself as a victim anymore. But to help sort of offset the trauma that has happened in some way, to allow people who have experienced sexual trauma to move on properly with their lives and to live a fulfilled and happy, safe life.
Okay, and can we come back to that in a second? Because there's something you said earlier, and just to tie up as a sort of a loose end of it before we proceed with what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And you said about hopefully some sort of criminal prosecution in the future. When you were 16, I mean, I think most people know what happens now. It's about the earliest you can get some sort of, and it's dreadful, invasive examination and things to help a criminal case as such, and which helps to go towards, of course, that the person is believed. Was there anything like that, Dan, for you?
No. For me, it was, I mean, we were 16, and again, my best friend and I, it was very much sort of deal with it between the two of us and don't tell anybody. It was still that sense of shame and that sense of, well, nobody would believe me even if it did happen, and everybody would blame me. So there was never any suggestion that I would take anything to the authorities, that I would go further with it, which is really, in some ways, I suppose I really regret that. In other ways, I don't regret it, because I don't know if I could put myself through that. I don't know if I could further expose myself even more than I have done. So maybe in some ways writing my blog and trying to sort of engage in some sort of activism is my way of getting retribution in some way, or getting justice in some way, in preventing it maybe from happening again and sparking the conversation on consent. But I do think that one of the things that still strikes me, especially when you look at stories on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, if a woman comes forward, some of the initial responses after "were you asking for it, did you lead him on," are very often, "why didn't you go to the police straight away?" And I think that when you're in that situation, the last thing you want to do is be physically examined. It's the whole, fight or flight, is that the response?
Yeah, and I think you were probably blocking it as well.
Oh, completely, yes. Yeah. Completely. And now so much time has passed by, I don't know if I would be the person to bring anything forward. Unfortunately, the situation that I've encountered over the years of blogging and coming out with my story is that this is so prevalent in society. I just am astounded with the amount of people who will actually come forward to me confidentially and share their own experiences of what they've been through. And again, they're all in a similar situation as well, where the onus is put on the victim. You know, why don't you do something about it? But my opinion would be that it's not up to the victim to take it any further if they don't want to, if they don't feel like they can cope with it, which is why, to me, and I'm a teacher, is why the issue of consent training, consent education is so important, so that we start to prevent young men, and sometimes young women, but very often young men, from committing any sort of crime or engaging in any sexual harassment or sexual assault behaviour. And that, to me, that's sort of the tack that I would take, that moving forward, that's what.
And that's in your 30s. What would have helped you in your 20s?
Definitely earlier intervention.
What does that mean?
Immediate counselling. I mean, I ended up, I had, throughout my 20s and early 30s, I had two major breakdowns. I had always, since then, I have struggled with, since the actual event itself, I've struggled with migraines. I've struggled with huge amounts of depression, anxiety, and engaged, you know, very destructive relationship. I know my own daughter, who was born when I was 19, has suffered unnecessarily because of my PTSD as well. But I think that counselling needs to be... One of the things that I've noticed is that it unfortunately, counselling services are completely dependent on charitable organisations like the Rape Crisis Network, Dublin Rape Crisis, Wexford Rape Crisis. There isn't one in Wicklow. And government services, to me, even sort of since I was 34, 35, 6 years ago, weren't really available specific services. And I think that counselling for victims of sexual trauma, it needs to be very specific. It needs to be not sort of general psychotherapy, but it needs to be very much based and centred around the event itself. So it takes a very specific type of
counsel. So let's say you were showing these signs of the post-traumatic stress, the migraines, the breakdowns, the difficulty with relationships, and that is crisis once removed as such. So did you get any treatment or put that's a general term between mental or whatever, counselling, any treatment for those symptoms of the event that happened?
No, not until I was 33, 34, because I had been to counselling, but I didn't sometimes because it was so expensive, and there wasn't, like if you're going to a private counsellor, you're looking at 60, 65 euro a pop, and that is just not always feasible for people, but I mean, going to my GP or whatever, it was just sort of handed antidepressants and advised to go to a private counsellor. It really wasn't until I was living in Dublin that things really came to a head. I was admitted to Vincent's hospital, but because lack of resources, lack of beds, whatever, they sent me home pretty quickly. So I ended up with Pieta House. So again, it was kind of the crack in the actual system itself, the mental health care system in Ireland, the established system run by the state, is where people get let down. And then very often we're reliant on charities. I mean, I do credit Pieta House with saving my life in the initial stages of that sort of 34-year-old breakdown.
So, Sinead, has anybody got inside you, your head, your mental attitude to try and... you know, unblock this dreadful thing that's happened to you and, you know, try and live the rest of your life with it as a compartment, even though it's a horrendous event, that somebody has, you know, been empathetic with you in order to help you move on?
I mean, Dublin Rape Crisis Centre, I was living in Ranelagh at the time, and they were absolutely fantastic. And that was the first time Pieta House referred me to Dublin Rape Crisis Centre. And that was when I think things really started to turn around. I was with them for 3 years, and I definitely learned how to cope. And then that was when I entered into my new relationship with my fiancé. And that was kind of the first time I was able to have a very healthy, solid, loving relationship. When we moved back home then, he got me in touch with Wexford Rape Crisis Centre. And again, their services are just outstanding. I attend the Outreach Centre in Gorey. I think it's the Family Community Resource Centre. And I suppose they're the ones who I would credit with giving me the tools to move forward. And as you say, to compartmentalise it so that it's not my whole life. It will always be a part of my life and a part of my mindset and a part of my past. But it, it, I'm in a position where I can move forward in a healthy relationship, but also in a healthy relationship with myself, so that there isn't that element of blame or shame there anymore. Yeah. And I've kind of got to the stage now, I suppose, where I feel like it's not so much about me anymore. It's about what I can do to help other people. Yeah.
Okay. And I'm just thinking, you mentioned maybe a resolution somewhere court-wise. I'm sure some people might say to you, do you want to bring it all up again or something like that? Or, you know, how difficult these cases are and things. Obviously, you want justice. How do you reconcile that with the compartmentalize of it, but at the same time, you know, satisfy this rightful need to have justice for what happened to you?
I have wrestled with that over the years. I think as I get better and as things improve for me, I think that it's a very tricky one, because there's a certain amount of guilt there that I feel for not wanting to go ahead with anything further. And to be honest, I don't think I will ever go ahead with anything. I mean, my parents still don't know who it was. There are very few people in my life who actually know who did this to me. So I think that what I want to do, and it might be perceived as selfish or maybe not pursuing justice as I should, but what I want to do, I think, is use any sort of small platform that I have to prevent it from happening to my daughter's generation or my stepson's generation, so that maybe in that way I can contribute rather than look back on the past. Now, whether that's the right thing or not to do in the grand scheme of things, I don't know, but it feels like what's right for me.
Sinead, it's a wonderful conversation. I wish we could talk much more about it, but obviously the time runs on, and I don't want to lose sight of what you're doing at the moment, the challenge of running 100 kilometres during the month of June for Wexford Rape Crisis Centre. How are you getting on?
Good. I will admit that yesterday I took the day off. I had planned to run 8K yesterday, but I spent the day in my garden. So I did get my exercise in. I'm at 81 kilometres, and we've raised €558 from a €500 target. The link you will find on my, the link to donate is GoFundMe, and you'll find it on Off My Dotty Rocker on Facebook, Twitter at My Lady Daughter, Insta at Dotty Rocker, and if you're friends with me on Facebook, Sinead Soulis, you can donate. The link is all over my page. I'm sharing it like crazy. I think Wexford Rape Crisis Centre have tweeted it and Facebook posted it as well.
Brilliant.
So every little helps, and please let's keep the conversation going and break down the taboo.
And let's talk about it again, indeed.
Absolutely.
And Dotty Rocker, where'd you get that?
I think I could blame my mother for that, actually, because she liked to tell me I was off my rocker and I was a bit dotty. So it came from there. And I will credit both my mother and my daughter for getting me through very hard times. My best friend Kira and my darling fiance John, who puts up with more than any man should ever have to from me. So I'm very lucky to have that support network.
That's Sinead Toulis there from Arklow, raising funds for Wexford Rape Crisis Centre, nearly there at 100 kilometres, but over the limit of 500, but every extra money is welcome. It's, you know, she's heading for the 600 there, so if you want to help her, Off My Dotty Rocker, which you'll find on her blog. Thanks very much indeed, Sinead. Promise we'll talk again. That's great.
Thank you very much. Have a great day. Thanks, Declan. Bye.
Look after yourself. Thank you. It's The Morning Show here at East Coast of